Good evening, everyone. So glad to see you and to sit with you in the new year, 2023. Can you believe it? We want to again say a special thankfulness to Paul and Tracy and Carlos just for bringing us all together again and again with their wide open hearts. It's a beautiful lesson, Paul. Randy and I both listened to it
last week,
and we appreciate your insights. So you may or may not have heard that Randy and I have been living with COVID. My, you know. COVID is really something that happens to other people. It would never happen to us, but sure enough, we went to Mexico and had a beautiful time on the beach, but on the way back, everything was fine, and then a couple of days after that, then all of a sudden, we tested positive. But it was amazing. I mean, we were very sick, and as Randy said, I think I was the sickest. I don't know what that means, but I suffered most. But through that suffering, it was such grace, because there are so many lessons from especially the first 5 days of the COVID, because it was just all about suffering. I couldn't do anything else but suffer. It hurt, you know. It was a deep suffering. And we took Paxlovid, but I had every side effects that I read about. I mean, there were 6 or 7 of them. So, really, I was deep into misery. That probably I won't soon forget. That's why I can say in the morning, I'm so glad to be alive. Because, you know, I've kind of reflected on how I've taught lately about preparing for death, emphasizing that life is full of suffering. And it was kind of like the universe said, well, you know, if you're going to talk about those kinds of things, I think you probably need to experience a bit more of it. And sure enough, it was huge, you know, as far as my practice was concerned. So dying while breathing, life's full of suffering. So what does it feel like? I mean, it felt like I was going to die. And even though my intellect told me I had prepared myself, I still had this little in the back of my mind, you know, you may not survive this. You are 76 years old. Even though you've done everything right, you did fly on an international flight. But I had really no idea the direct experience of feeling that I was going to die and the amount of suffering coming my way right after 7 days of beach sun and relaxation. Ah. So I had pneumonia when I was about 30, and I thought then that I wasn't going to recover because it just kept staying around. But since then, I really have had a long life of relative good health with quick recoveries. Been sick like everybody else, but I get over it. But this year, right in the middle of my 76th birthday. Did I say I was 75? Because I've forgotten I am 76. I found myself suffering. And it was somewhat a new territory for me because I'm not ever experienced that depth of suffering for 5 days without any relief. And it's just where I couldn't rest and had pounding heartbeats, headaches, confusion, just feeling unsteady, sweating. And then there's this taste in your mouth, evidently, that you get from Paxlovid that Randy and I both had. It's that metallic taste. My friend Deanna says, it's a taste worse than anything your mother ever dreamed of. It was vicious. So, of course, I tried knowing what I've been practicing for 40 years. I started using some of my meditation tools, or trying to. So I'd talk to myself and say, okay, I can be with this. Yeah, I can be with this. Can I be with this? I'm not suffering. This is suffering, but I'm not suffering. Suffering is not who I am. Or this too will pass. It didn't work. None of it worked. I was lost in the suffering. So I tried sitting up, and less than 2 minutes was the longest I could pretend I was meditating. So then I went to my body. I mean, how many times have we talked about that? Because it is through the pain that the pain is released or is tolerable. Well, I went to my body. It just seemed to intensify the suffering. So I was miserable. But something happened. Something kicked in. It wasn't until I started looking out my window where I could see the horizon over the acres of the hill country. And thank goodness we live in this absolutely healing, wonderful hill country. And the horizon somehow just took me over the acres of the hill country. And I started feeling a little bit of relief. And so the vista opened my awareness to more spaciousness. I was, pretty tense and trying to push away the suffering. And so, you know, I had these iBooks on my iPad, you know, 200 wonderful books, about meditation and for all these absolutely wonderful yogis. And so I said, well, why not? So I picked the book In Love with the World. And it's by Mingir Rinpoche. Highly recommend it if you haven't read it. He's a Tibetan monk and teacher, quite famous. And so he left his home of great support because his conditioning was unlike mine. His conditioning was he came from a Buddhist household where his father was a quite famous Buddhist teacher. But in 2019, unbeknownst to his family and to his monastery, he started a wandering retreat. And he says, deliberately making trouble for myself. And he continues and says, and he even said at the beginning that he perhaps had underestimated how much trouble he would encounter so quickly. So Ben, as a famous monk who had set out totally to rely on his practice and to survive from the generosity of people within cultures that understood what a wandering monk was. And a wandering monk is a monk without fixed residence or leadership who relied on charity and hospitality of others. Truly, he almost didn't survive. And his descriptions of his suffering, it was in and out. He was just in and out. But he, of course, had this deep practice that sustained certainly something I wasn't able to sustain. So I started reading. And he says, I just opened the page. I had read the whole book, but I had gone to this book several times as a resource. It's just lovely. But he was on a smelly Indian train, shoulder to shoulder and back to back with people. He said, where the smells were just overwhelming. Ugh. Paul, have you been on those smelly Indian trains? So you kind of know from where he was coming. He said it was just overwhelming. And that he found himself deep in suffering. So he remembered one of the tools for steadying the mind. So in the midst of all this aversion, the circumstances enabled him to pull in a meditation to listening to sounds. So he took his meditation to the sound of the train. Since it's a simple awareness, but listening to sounds. And the idea, he says, is to gather the distracted mind by placing it lightly on sound, making it the object of meditation. And sounds, such as mantras and the ringing of bells, and they have always been part of the Buddhist practice. So, sound can rouse contemplative action, and he says, conjured diligent focus. He says it's powerful, but it's fleeting. He says it's constant and it's impermanence. It can be a reminder that this moment is just that. Only a moment. So I said, okay, let's go. The only sound I could hear, because we live in a very quiet place in the hill country, was the bathroom exhaust fan I'd left on during my very many visits to the bathroom. So I listened to the exhaust fan. And so the sound supports our recognition of awareness, but it does not remain the focus of it. It's kind of like how we listen to music, how it sends us into a spaciousness that we all have experienced many times. It's why we love it so much. So I went to the only sound I could hear, and I directed my mind to lightly rest on the sound. And I read his passage. He said, be with the sound. No commentary. Befriend the sound. Let the thoughts, the fears, the stress drain out into this sound. Use this sound to gather the mind. If thoughts come, that's okay. Just let them go. There are clouds passing through, but keep returning to the sound and rest and relax. So it clicked. It clicked. After about 5 minutes, I withdrew my mind from the fan sound and I had a thought. Boy, this is working for me. So if that obnoxious fan in the bathroom has given me so relief, what would the sound of soft music do for me? So I quickly went from the exhaust fan to some soft music. It became even easier listening. And the relief was tangible. And of course, this is called, we've talked about it, open awareness. So Minger continued with, he said, let it be. Whatever arises, let it be. Stay with awareness. Notice the sound arising within the recognition of awareness. Do not go toward it. Do not withdraw from it. Do not pick and choose. Stay awake. Rest. Relax. And so gradually my expanded sense of self grew bigger. That's what happened. And it seemed to have grown bigger than my problem of suffering. And so I could be with the suffering. There was just so much spaciousness there. And the music enabled me not only to hold the pain in my heart, but share with the spaciousness that the music helped me to open to. It was an opening that I can't describe. But I did recognize it was the pain of the universe. And haven't we talked about that? And again, a whole new experience and understanding of the suffering, of the pain of the world that I've talked about many times, but had really very little experience up to those 5 days. So I really, during that time, lots of things started coming up. I mean, being that spacious and that intensity of suffering that I had no idea was coming my way, I'd realize all the times, even on the beach, how I was in my little cocoon of self. Selfing. For who knows how long. So COVID was a wake-up call. I'm so appreciative of the grace. Because it opened me again, as this practice does, to a more inclusive way to be with suffering. Or to be with all the range of life that we experience daily that just scare us to death. So the suffering reminded me what is important in this life. I saw it so clearly. And you know, I'm not a crier. You know, I've told you before, my sisters and my mother cried all the time. Didn't do anything about their issues, but I wasn't going to cry. I was just going to fix all my issues. I cried. Somebody would look at me and say something nice, and I would cry. It was such a relief. So it reminded me of how I can live this life, of what little I have left. And I don't want to forget this. I might not want to have a rebound of COVID, But I want to live as Carlos Castaneda said in his books many, many years that I've never forgotten, is to live with death right over my shoulder. It keeps everything in its true perspective, not in a morbid way, but we've talked about all the wonderful ways that Stephen Levine and others have touched us in working with death and dying. So, really, my sickness made me closer to the truth of death. And, you know, we're still recovering. We're still positive. And who knows how long it will take for us to completely recover. But listen, Tracy last week, Paul, remembered to record your Dharma talk. And so, listening to your Dharma talk from last week and all the wonderful comments that came from the Sangha, I think I'm going to cry again. Oh my. You know, it just reassured me how precious this practice is, and how precious a Sangha is to help or to sustain what's true about life, what's important, what's the most important. And so, thanks for listening. I appreciate it.